Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Reserve Bank and welcome to the Market Monetary Policy Statement. The Reserve Bank has this morning decided to increase the actual cash rate to 7.5%. The reasons for this are that we're seeing clear evidence of pickup in activity. We've been seeing it through the later months of last year and the earlier months of this year. There's a number of sources, but the dominant one amongst them is that we're seeing a resurgence in housing at the moment, and this is partly coming from firming migration, partly from increased confidence, partly reflecting higher household incomes, but it's also reflecting quite strong increases in mortgage credit at the moment. It's not the only thing. In addition, we are seeing export commodity prices very strong, and in particular, dairy prices extremely strong. And we're also note in this forecast the stronger, more expansionary fiscal policy. And this all adds up to significant resource pressures on the economy at the moment and increases the risk of increasing medium-term inflation. On the prices front, we do note that in the short term, we see inflation easing off. The CPI is going to average round about the midpoint of the band during this calendar year. And that's broadly a result of fall off in the oil price and strong New Zealand dollar, things that we've already seen happening. We do note in this monetary policy statement that domestic prices are also likely to moderate from lower inflationary expectations, and that's clearly a good thing, but that there is still medium-term strength there in the CPI and that there is upside risk on our forecast. The risks are that the housing strength that we're seeing and general domestic demand strength could boost a cyclical upturn at a time when resources are stretched in the New Zealand economy. We've been seeing the first signs of a rebalancing in the New Zealand economy over the last couple of years, but this continues, and we do note that it could be reversed. Were that to happen, that would increase the risk of a more costly correction than our current account deficit. I know there'll be some interest in our work on supplementary measures to the official cash rate. We have continued with that work, and we do note in this statement that there is work going on further possible tax measures around investor housing. In addition, we also note that we are now looking at reassessing whether or not we need to change bank capital requirements relating to credit for housing. We do note, however, that of course we will keep focusing on the OCR as the primary monetary policy instrument. When we look out into the future, we do note that we are tightening monetary policy today because we want to reduce the risk of unsustainable activity rebounding. Whether or not this activity persists is going to determine whether or not further tightening may be required. We do need medium-term inflationary pressures to come off, and this does require us to see some moderating trends in housing activity and domestic demand. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's the statement. Any questions here to help me with Yung Ha, Head of Forecasting? It's Yung's last forecast. He goes off to be New Zealand's person at the IMF in Washington. I'd like to thank very much for what he's done for this year. In addition, Grant Spencer, chief economist through this period. Grant, as some of you know, has been appointed deputy governor. He'll be moving from economics to financial stability. That means he'll have responsibility for the financial markets part of our work and bank regulation part, but he'll still remain on the committees relating to monetary policy. Thank you.
When you're looking at the tightening of tax rules, exactly what are you looking at?
Well, tax is the area of Treasury and the IRD, and you need to talk to them for any further detail. But we're broadly, as we said in the report we put out last year, the joint report we put out last year, we're interested in what we can get out of stricter enforcement of current rules around purchase of property with intention of resale, and also whether there's anything more that might be done around ring fencing of losses in investor housing. Both those primarily relate to developers and investor housing rather than purely owner-occupied. Treasury is the place to get through the details.
The word suggests that the fall in the dollar make this an easier decision on which you respond. The fall in the key dollar at the last decision makes this decision easier on which you respond anyway.
Oh, well, look, that's all a bit hypothetical. We do make a decision in principle about a week before the actual announcement, but we are in a position where we can change it as we wish, as we reassess anything going on. Of course, we've been watching the market through this period. We observe with interest what's been happening around the yen. That is important for New Zealand because, of course, as you know, what's been happening in Japan has been an important source of the carry trade, which has had a big upward impact on the New Zealand dollar, as well as some other high interest rate commodity currencies. And so we have been assessing whether or not we might be seeing the start of a correction going on. Now, in these things, of course, you've got to look for the medium term, not the short term. So we'll keep observing that. Would we have gone differently? Well, that's hypothetical.
The wording of the about capital gains tax saying that strict enforcement of existing laws suggests that they're not being enforced at the moment. Is that your view?
Well, we don't mention capital gains tax. We're talking about enforcement of losses around any properties which are bought with the intention of resale. That's a different area.
Tax laws regarding existing capital gains.
To answer your original question, we have looked at levels of enforcement. The government does not get very much tax revenue back off that. You need to talk to Treasury and IRD as that too.
Okay. What chances were there that you might have gone 0.5%?
We look at all options. I note that some in the market speculated about whether we might do that. Generally, you've seen central banks tend to move with 5 basis point increases over the last few years around the world. And in doing that, they're also signalling very clearly where they're likely to go. We've signalled, I think, very clearly right through this period. You'll note that we pushed up rates for a while, a couple of years ago, then we said we'd sit and watch what would happen through that. We've gone through a bit over a year of leading rates where they were at 7.25% to observe how the markets would react to that. We've seen some coming through in effective mortgage rate. We haven't seen as much as we expected and feel it's necessary. So we're there to ensure that happens. We didn't necessarily feel we had to jolt the market. Our policy right through this period has been not to surprise the market unnecessarily, though that could always be possible.
But isn't it the households that you really want to jolt here? It's not the financial markets. Certainly, you're giving them the benefit of the doubt, though.
We set a rate that then is taken into account in terms of where the banks set their rates, and that's how the households have responded to. In all of this, it's a question of how much mortgage is being supplied, at what prices, how much is being demanded. So we're going to just keep looking at that. We don't feel the need to, as I said, jolt the markets, but we do need to keep putting out quite a strong message about our ongoing determination on medium-term inflation. I should say through this period that there's been quite a lot of talk or a lot of chatter about whether monetary policy is working. We do need to remember that we've been through the longest period of growth almost since the 1960s. And during that period, in the last few years, we've had the biggest oil price and commodity price shock and international housing shock in the last 30 years. And we've been through it very calm, and that's trying to keep us working
that sort of way. On that basis, doesn't that mean that you probably will still have to go after giving the households number of warning? You've just put it up 25 basis points, but really, do you think that's going to be enough?
Well, we expect to see some of that passed on, some of that. We've already seen some increases in effective mortgage rates this year as the banks understand that we are firm about doing this and take it into account. We'll keep observing.
In reaction to the Minister of Finance is both confidence and are you interested in seeing
I won't have any comments on that and the appointments around governance to the board, not to me.
Thank you.
Why have you felt that this case would be easier than the fact that the spectrum is
No, we're getting a bit more information coming through, and that's really, we're factoring that in. So, broadly speaking, the fiscal numbers are there, as in Treasury's half-yearly contract update from late last year. That hasn't changed. But we do have a bit of evidence that there's a bit more spending pressure coming out of working families as a result of the way we think that it's operated so far. And we've also queried whether or not that might be one of the factors that's leading to, or has over the last few quarters led to, a reduction in female participation in the labour force.
Would you take your say, the revised growth output for 2010 significantly higher? But if you actually look at the last time it was 2.1%, and now you're looking at 1.8%.
1.8% for the year finishing.
Yeah,
that's just
so
what it
says. Lower, not higher.
No, the outlook is higher. The 07-08 year is higher.
It says 2007.
2007 is a calendar term, Simon, that we typically use in the document. The number I think you just quoted was a March year, 06, 07. Three quarters of that year will have an 07 and 08.
Not follow,
because
2004
you've
raised. It's going to be about 150 basis points. Over that time, for 5 years,
that's mortgage rates actually falling. Someone else, you know. 5 years fixed mortgage rate is pretty irrelevant to
this period. 2 years, that's mortgage rates would be like about 30 or 40 basis points.
We think the effect of mortgage rate has picked up about half of that, that OCR increase.
Well, I mean, looking at the graphs that you've got in the document, it's clear that nearly all of that is OCR, but 50% of it is basically the first year, 2003 and 2004. So the OCR increase is 16, and they almost no effect on the
market. No, if you look at the graph that lists the effect of mortgage rate there, you'll see it continuing to have an effect. But as we have said, it's been a softer effect than we might otherwise have expected in a condition where we weren't getting these quite large incentives from markets like the Japanese to push into the New Zealand and other dollars and the gap and the cheaper finance area.
What
is a lot of liquidity around the world?
What impact do you expect the 25% basis of price today is actually had on mortgage rates?
Some of it's already come through. Some of it will keep putting pressure on banks as they look out for the future about where it goes. You can actually see that in our graphs if you measure the effect of mortgage rates.
One possible method of managing mortgage rate easing would be open market operations. Is that being considered?
Well,
it's a very, very large float that's been established for the repo market, which allows banks to effectively facilitate these forceful lending issues, as you please describe.
So, what are you proposing?
Well, the bank is. Increase the repo market float by such a large degree that it's actually made the banks to do that?
We think that the way that we've been handling liquidity management, where there have been changes going on, has impacted some of the short-term overnight rates, but pull them actually back to the earlier OCR norms. We don't think we've got any immediate difficulty. And if we'd be likely to have you and Alistair to talk that through. It's quite a difficult area.
Were you disappointed in the political reaction to the mortgage levy?
Well, we've got to be realistic about this. I mean, some of the things we looked at in the Supplementary Stabilisation Instruments report last year, we, Treasury and Reserve Bank together, that did have some possibilities. They've all got some potential distortion. Some of them I thought were worth pursuing, but many of them do require legislative change. Now, we have noted that there is no appetite for legislative change across the House with mortgage interest level. Consequently, as far as we're concerned, it's not a realistic option for us. We'll keep looking at what we can do. And as I was just saying, we do have our own powers under the Reserve Bank Act to deal with bank capital requirements for mortgage lending.
Inflation factors has actually gone down since September from about 2.7 to 2.3. Why didn't you move in December? Why are you moving now when the inflation factor has gone down?
Why didn't we move in December? Because as we said then, we wanted to see what was happening around the housing market and confirm that it wasn't actually coming off. Well, the answer is it hasn't come off. It's fairly strong, and it's got removing now. Has the track gone down? Well, only as a consequence of us factoring in an increase now. That's already in the numbers in the monetary policy statement here. So that is what does the work. Without that, the track wouldn't have come down, it would have gone up. The short-term track has come down further, absolutely. The medium-term track hasn't. Well, I think the public is very aware of a couple of things. One is that there's very strong pressure around the housing sector, and that just continues. And our regular monitoring of credit numbers is that very, very strong, and really unrealistically so. And I think it's been a big problem. We realise that can't continue. Secondly, I think actually the media is quite clear what we're doing. It's medium-term inflation pressure. We'll all have a communications challenge over the next couple of quarters when we see some quite low numbers coming through. But it's very clear that those are just here with us for the short term, and we're here for the medium term. We've always said that, but you've always reported that as well, so I don't expect a lot of confusion.
Can you just explain in layman's terms how this change in the capital adequacy ratio for banks would the housing market or improve inflation outlook?
No, I'm not going to talk in any detail on this at the moment. We're about to start some conversations with the banks about it, but we'll
Can you explain how the system would work?
Well, sure, we set capital requirements for banks for lending purposes. Broadly, those are just big numbers, big pools. If we change those in principle, depending on how much extra capital the bank's already holding, they may have to increase capital, get more funding for mortgages, and particularly pushes the mortgage rate up as a consequence of that. There's a lot of other complicated pieces around that. At the minute, as you know, we're moving into Basel II regime internationally, where probably from around next year, some of that will change anyway. We're considering the possibility of looking at more shorter-term transitional measures that might have some biting impact on credit for mortgages.
Can you say about how many quarters in succession the bank has seen supplies for the housing market?
I'm sure I could go back and check that on obvious one, but you've gone through and looked at your evidence on that. We have right through this period. The bank's forecasts on inflation have been very accurate, probably almost second to none, right through this period. And that's why you've got to recall you were sitting in the room upstairs with us last year complaining about why we were increasing rates and saying that we have overestimated the strength of the economy. But we haven't. We got that right. We have had a pretty accurate view of inflation through this period. We have underestimated the strength of housing through this period, however. That's been more a pricing issue around underestimating how little of the OCR will come through on that effective mortgage rate. And frankly, we've underestimated the resilience of the New Zealand consumer and their willingness to keep on investing in housing. They're doing that to a degree that we can't find anywhere else in the OECD. We're talking about an economy that's got very strong employment and strong confidence, and that's highly desirable. But on the other hand, we have New Zealanders who are prepared to run up debt to a much higher degree than we can find in any other country. So that's the bit that has surprised us. We're household to savings. Running down savings is very strong.
And now you're expecting home prices actually to keep on increasing but at a slower rate until the end of the forecast period, which is 2010.
Well, the thing with house prices is, except in extreme circumstances, they don't quickly come up. They simply see a slowdown on the housing market. If you get much less churn going on, you get a slowing in house prices. People hold on to the houses rather than let them go at lower prices, so that you see a quick fall off. But you get a stagnancy in the housing market. We're saying it will slow. And, of course, that means you've got a lot of New Zealanders out there with a lot of debt, and they have to service those mortgages, and they don't have money to spend on other things. That's more what worries us. It's the fact that there's going to be less discretionary expenditure in other areas.
Surely that would reduce the inflation on the bank's balance sheet.
Oh, absolutely. But on the other hand, it's just reflecting what we've already seen in New Zealand, which is we like buying houses, we don't like buying and owning our own businesses. And so you get these other consequences to the business sector and the traded sector that are generally resolved.
The domestic demand situation is quite positive in the sense that there's not a lot of domestic demand showing that this is up about quite a long period of time.
Well, household consumption's come up a bit, but it is underpinned by this very strong... Sorry, the rate of increase in consumption is underpinned by this very strong housing.
Dr. Holler, to put inflation top quartile of your target being the most of the time forecast period, are you comfortable with that? Or is there a signal there that you can expect further?
Well, we haven't slavishly targeted the midpoint of the band, but we do know that we've got to have it comfortably within the band in the medium term. And comfortable, when you look at any forecaster's forecast, there's a lot of variance there, so you can't assume that we're happy having it just inside the band. It's got to be enough inside that people have got confidence that we have inflation well under control.
Maybe about
well, the monetary policy needs to operate in a sympathetic environment. We don't want to be here trying to correct for other distortions. Now, some of the distortions we're facing are actually international ones, and we've got to be realistic about that. They're situations of very loose monetary policy in Japan, very low interest rates in Japan, which means there's been money going to a lot of currencies like New Zealand's, and we can't do anything about that. There's other exchange rate restrictions around the world that don't help us either. At the same time, we want to ensure that we're able to work monetary policy, which inevitably in New Zealand is, a lot of it is focused through the housing market, in an area where housing is a neutral sort of investment for New Zealanders, and that's why we think it's important that current tax policy be well enforced. The OCR will always be the major instrument of monetary policy.
And the whole NCI thing, you know, it wasn't measuring how tight monetary policy was.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right, we don't use the MCI as a particular tool. We observe lots of measures through the system. What we're actually doing is saying exchange rate has borne too much of the brunt in terms of slowing this economy, so that it's been some of it has been happening through the external sector by virtue of a very high exchange rate. We're still trying to recalibrate that and rebalance it so that where the real growth in the economy is where we focus monetary policy, and that is housing by the mortgage rate, by the OCR, and that's why we've increased it.
So would you say that monetary policy is already tight
before
the real was already tight before
that? I would say monetary policy has been moderately tight before that. It's been tighter at times.
You say you're not at all concerned about the length of the OCR and the peak cost of the effective mortgage rate, because it seems to me...
I don't believe I've ever said that.
Well, you said that you...
No, I'm not saying
that. So you are concerned about the OCR's length?
It's important that the OCR always be able to influence the effective mortgage rate, that is our most important channel.
Is it becoming less effective in doing that?
It has, over the last 3 years, become less effective, as we've said in the news.
Does that mean that we're going to get additional fiscal stimulus, which you've already expressed some concern about?
Well, I mean, you must talk to Treasury about that, but based on what's happened in the past, it would probably work the other way, which is that in an unexpectedly strong period, unexpectedly more tax revenue in New Zealand, right. And that has actually been a contraction and that has helped us sort of ask for
these. The business community is likely to respond to that and say, well, the OCR change is unlikely to have an effect on the housing market, it probably will raise the exchange rate, and so it's counterproductive.
Yeah. Well, of course, a lot of that, I mean, the markets have exactly expected what we've just done, so they will already have factored this into the exchange rate. So you can assume there's thousands of traders out there who have already taken account of this. This was not new news to them. So in that sense, I wouldn't expect to have any effect. Of course, there's a whole bunch of things that would be
exchanged. Do you have any practice now about further cases?
We've said we will look at whether this unexpected increase in activity around housing persists.
There's no reason to think why.
Well, we're increasing rates today so that we expect that to have some effect, but we will wait and observe and see what happens.
Dr. Pollard, you've mentioned that the monetary policy that you've mentioned that the decline in New Zealand, the strength of the New Zealand dollar is likely to be a longer process than might be stated earlier. You think the dollar will be at a relatively high level throughout calendar 2016?
Look, I have to say, like all forecasters, we have very little forecasting ability on forecasts that change constantly. We don't formally make a forecast, we put a projection in so that we can work out other forecasts of them. The wise thing to do is to consider a range of bands around that. We have generally, compared to other forecasters, taken the view it could hold up a lot longer than most of them. Everybody thinks advisors has held up longer, even longer than we of course, there's a number of things that underpin that exchange rate, not just the OCR. And one of them is export prices, and we have had, and just yesterday, continue to get confirmation of the fact that we've got very strong commodity export prices. We are enjoying a lot of strength there. Though the exchange rate over the cycle does respond to that, it tends to be stronger at the time when we've got such strength. But short term, we've got to look at a range of possibilities.
Well, it comes to make that the
We observe what we can on that. That's quite an important issue for us, both the retail carry trade, if you like, the sort of Eurodash and so on the wholesale side. I think there's a lot of people out in the market at the minute assessing just what the events of the last week might be doing and they've got their minds around it at the minute. And we have seen the New Zealand dollar come off 3 cents, partly as a consequence of that. That is likely to do, which we think is generally desirable, is make markets take into account a better pricing, more realism around risk. With this spot of liquidity over the last few years, the risk premium on investments worldwide has been historically low. That's generally not a good thing because it means there's money piling in without taking account of some of those possibilities. Could be seeing a correction on that constitution.
Is it continuing at the same pace as it's been the last week? The sale of
the dollar. Well, I'm not talking about anything that's happened last night. I'm just talking about general movements over the last week.
I think there's that big steep sale of dollars, which is holding us.
Yeah, if you want to get into that, David Drake here would be just the man to help you with the next one. Very good to see you. Are there any more questions?
Dr. Boyle, you'll be aware that export is in the same that the Reserve Bank of London instrument. Because the dollar is high, there's less money coming back to the producers. Do you think there's any validity to that point?
Oh, well, there is some validity, yes. If you look at export commodity prices at the minute, the numbers released yesterday said a very big increase in dairy, some increases in some other areas, and for the first time for a little while, in New Zealand dollars, revenue goes up as well, because that New Zealand dollar has dropped a bit. Yeah, absolutely, but a lot depends on whether you're exporting in commodities, what currency you're exporting in, over what time period, and what hedging patterns. New Zealand exporters have done better at that over the last couple of years than they did in the mid-90s, for example. So we think we've seen less damage to the traded sector from this period of strong New Zealand dollar than we did in the mid-90s. But yeah, it impacts. Okay, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the conference.